This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program. Presented by TaylorMade and the all-new Stealth Driver with a red carbon face for better energy transfer and more ball speed. Welcome to the carbon age. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
And here we go, Golf Talk Canada off and running live from the 16th hole, the rink hole here at the RBC Canadian Open. Adam Scully, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, all around the table. Friday, day two. Mark, the weather a little better, and by a little better, I mean significantly better than this time yesterday, where we were watching some golf on the 16th hole at about 9:30 a.m. yesterday. We weren't shivering, but there was a sense of where's the summer? And now,
I was cold.
It's here.
I was cold. I'll tell you, I was shivering.
Okay. So that was just you. Okay, that's good. Okay.
I'm with you. At least the sun's out today. I think today with Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas playing in the afternoon, on a Friday afternoon with the blue skies, the sun out, etc. The forecast, unfortunately, not what we'd love to have for the weekend, let's say. We're hoping it gets better.
Right.
But I'm thinking that with everything we know right now, we might have some really big crowds this afternoon.
Well, so yesterday we were doing hits around the 16th hole, the rink hole here for television. Mm-hmm. Bob, Graham, myself, all, you know, CP24, News Channel, SportsCenter, etc. And by the time 4 o'clock hit, it was as if all of the booze that had been served hit everyone at that particular
time.
And we heard a lot of this on the rink board.
Yeah.
Rink boards, and the penalty box was rowdy. So we were actually trying to time our live SportsCenter hits to when the crowd was going nuts. We were unsuccessful in that because every time in between, the guys would just go ballistic.
Right.
And they're serving whatever they're serving up there. But it looked like if you're coming to the RBC Canadian Open today on Friday, on Red and White Day, A, wear red and white, which Bob and I clearly missed the memo on. I mean,
yeah, you know. I asked Bob out front just now. I said, you got to get to the pro shop, you guys. And then I thought to myself, well, the last thing we need is more golf clothes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have white golf pants now, so I could have.
Okay, so I have the white Adidas golf pants, and I was going to go with them, but I'm still thinking, like, it's still soft out there.
Yeah.
It's still dirt. Those white golf pants would have been white for about 4 holes.
You should have worn your red golf pants.
Yes, right.
And then a white shirt. That would have been better.
So to your point, though, with the crowd later on in the day at the rink, and it gets rowdy. So what's Rory tee off at 12:53 today?
12:53.
All right. So I've got Rory, JT, and Corey today.
Yep.
So I'm going to be walking up the 16th hole at 5 p.m. You said the booze hits around 4 p.m.
yesterday, yeah.
Right. So if we're on the same number,
it's going to get loud.
Okay. So I'm going to be walking up this hole at 5 o'clock today with that group.
Yeah.
And I might probably miss every cue the producer throws in my head, right?
Yeah.
Like,
you just better hope nobody makes a hole in one, or they're going to shower you with beer cans.
That's right.
That's going to be what happens.
That's right.
Well, because Scottie Scheffler chipped in yesterday, and from our angle, it was kind of hard to tell, but I watched it on television back, and it was an unbelievable shot. And the roar that got on a Thursday afternoon. But even I was doing a live hit into News Channel at 6:45. And I could barely hear what they were saying because, you know, three guys were walking by, one of the last groups of the day, and they were, you know, there was chants going on in the penalty box up there. So
I was standing. Think about this. I was standing on the fourth green, which could you get any further away from the 16th than the fourth green? I was standing at the fourth green with Patrick Rogers because he was on a run at the time, bogey free. I think he was like 4 or 5 under at that point. And when the Scheffler shot went in at 16, the chip in, and I could hear that roar on the fourth green from here. I'm like, that's unbelievable.
It's like Augusta. You can hear the roars. You know what's going on.
That's right.
Yeah, there's Augusta roars, but there's St. George's roars. And imagine if a Canadian gets in the mix.
Wow, it's going to be awesome.
This afternoon. We have a very busy show. We'll have a revolving door of guests again. First of all, before I say who's going to come and join us around the table, thanks to everyone who joined us yesterday. Alan Palmer from St. George's, the director of golf. We had Graham Dillette, who was here. People got a lot of great feedback because we really went in depth about Dillette's career, some of his highlights.
Oh, cool.
Some of his great memories.
I obviously missed it, guys, so I'd love to
know
more about it.
Available on the podcast, on iTunes. We spoke about hitting people sometimes. Sometimes get bad pro-am stories, funny pro-am stories. Lawrence Applebaum was on the show. We had a full debrief about his pro-am shot here on 16.
Nice.
How he said he was lining up to the ball, and the last thing you heard was me say, I don't like this club for him.
Oh, that's That's so good.
So we had a great talk about that. Who else met? Scott Pritchard from PGA
Tour. Oh, yeah.
Canada.
How was Scotty? Was he Scotty all good? He's excited
great.
To have it
38
all?
38 PGA Tour Canada graduates alumni.
How good is that? How good
That's
is
amazing.
That?
Amazing.
Yeah.
That something?
When you think about, like, you go
38.
Back. If you go back. Okay, Bob, question for you. If we go back to the 90s and we were sitting around this desk and it was 1995 and it was Glen Abbey, how many Canadian Tour graduates would you have thought would have been in the field at the Canadian Open in 1995? Five? Six?
Yeah, I mean, we only probably had 10 players there, but those guys were, you know, it was like Dave Barr and Dan Halder
right.
who played the old Canadian Tour
days.
And, yeah, no, certainly
I mean,
not.
Like, that's crazy.
Certainly not what we have these days. And some of these young amateurs are just tremendous players.
Hey, before I forget, you know, we haven't had a Canadian Open in 3 years. And so we haven't really been out much in front of Canadian golf fans in 3 years, you know? I know, like, obviously we do little things here or there. You and I had our night at the Toronto Hunt where we had this thing. I know you've been doing a lot of stuff with RBC golf team and whatnot. So it's not like we're hiding. But, I mean, we haven't been out front in front of Canadian golf fans on this size, like this much mass, in 3 years. And I know that our show is 12 years old now. And I forget sometimes that 12 years is a long period of time. And I'm not the most active guy on social media, as you guys are aware, that usually when I'm on social media, it's because I am, like, angry, severely angry about something. So it happens, like, once every 6 months. Like, you know, the premier of the province decides to shut down golf and stuff like that. That's when I lose my mind.
Am I sensing a rant coming here?
No, it's actually the opposite.
Okay. Oh.
I had more people yesterday on a Thursday say, "Where's Bob? Where's Scully? We watch you guys all the time.
Wow.
We listen to you guys all the time." But I mean, more so than in the previous four Canadian Opens combined.
That's great.
It was unbelievable. And I was so shocked. People asking for photos. Can you sign my flag? Can you say hi to the guys? Are they still over on 16 asking where you guys are? So I just want to thank everybody who stopped and tapped me on the shoulder, came by and said hi, and it will likely happen again out there today and over the weekend. You know, we forget this stuff because we're usually in a studio or behind a camera and whatnot. And you forget, like, hey, 12 years is a long time. And people do love the show. And it's just a love of golf. We're just part of them, right? We're just an extension of them because we love golf too.
Right.
And I was really taken back by it yesterday.
The only thing I can see in that, the only difference of what would cause that now is that since the pandemic and we had it really – Scully's come on air now, and I think he's the defining
he's
factor.
He's
the guy who's made all the difference.
It might
they
be.
They don't really care about you and I. They care about Scully, and they're just being nice to you and I.
I will say this. There was a percent of the demographic that tapped me on the shoulder yesterday that was much younger than has ever tapped me before, and I can solely point to Adam Scully for that particular lane of demographic, because there was not a lot of women in their 20s ever tapping me on their shoulder before, and I think three of them I got tapped on yesterday.
I am blushing.
And it has nothing to do with this guy, so I can tell you that.
I will have to say it's great, you know, speaking, interacting with people. I signed an autograph yesterday.
Look at that.
I hadn't signed an autograph since I played hockey. And right. I was in the O for 2 weeks.
Right.
Like, I did much. Right. But, I mean, so you know, that was great. But, I mean.
Anyway, I just wanted to take time to thank everybody.
Yeah, thank you to all. And we'll be around the wrinkle. So come check us out. Come take a selfie. You'd have to take the selfie. I'm not a great selfie taker.
Here we go.
This live
here
on
we
the
go.
Air. Yeah. Really need to work on my selfies. So if you have any tips for me, come find me. I'm not wearing the red and white because I missed the memo on that. But, I mean, Sailor V. Okay, before we get into our show, let's hit some news and headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger. Everybody knows one.
It's starting to fill up here already. This is great. We've got a great atmosphere happening here on the Ring Hole. I should mention who we are having on the show today. We mentioned about yesterday's show. Brian Crawford, tournament director.
Nice.
From here at the RBC Canadian Open. He's going to drop by in about 20 minutes. So Brian Crawford will be by. TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours. I am pumped to see TJ. I was in Spain.
Is that the last time you saw TJ?
Was
it on
the
Spanish
last time
soil?
We were on the same row on our flight home, actually. So
I hope he's not here to commit to live.
I mean, we'll have to wait and see. That's our first live reference today. It should be a live drinking game. Every time, bang,
Thought we could get through the first segment. Yeah.
You're so close.
We just thought of Spain and TJ's international flair.
Right.
You know.
I actually saw one of the guys who was in Spain with us, Roan Vollmer, who is the director of golf now at Westmount.
Okay.
I saw him yesterday.
What a great golf course is.
I'm excited.
I love Westmount.
And he mentioned to me, so there's there's an event going on there during one of our shows. So he's going to have us out there at some point during the summer.
Nice.
Because it's on a Monday and we can't make it anyway. Because
they're having the media day for the Canadian Women's Amateur.
That's what it is. We're missing. Okay. Yeah, we're missing. I think it's also a Monday of a major, which makes it even more difficult because my initial instinct was let's just drag the radio show on location.
Yeah.
But when it's on TV, we can't really drag it out.
It's the Monday after the U.S. Open.
Yeah, that's why we can't
do
it. Yeah.
And as well, Graham Dillette will be by. And we're going to go in depth with Graham all about preparing. I want to dive in deep. You know, you're a PGA Tour pro. When does the prep start? You're going to the gym. What are you doing? That sort of thing. So I want to go behind the lens, if you will.
If it's Harry Higgs,
It
probably doesn't start.
Okay.
Period. Oh. Into the gym.
Right.
How about Justin Thomas hitting it into the net?
Yeah.
I love that. That was amazing.
How good was that?
That is the ultimate Trump slam.
Tyrrell Hatton told me he was going to use the net to warm up on his morning round, so that was today. So I don't know if he did that or not, but we'll find out.
He was one of my edge picks, and he was 4 over yesterday, and today he's 2 over. So he's tied for 130th. Tyrrell, come on! Let's go. So we need a bit of a rally.
Is Sam Burns still on a heater this morning?
Yeah,
he came out of the gates pretty hot.
He did.
Sam Burns,
You start on that back side, you can get the...
That's where you get them early.
Three par fives in the first 6 holes.
Yeah,
8 holes.
10's gettable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Graham Dillette will be by. We'll have leaderboard updates throughout the show. And Wyndham Clark currently is your leader. 7-under 63. What a round that was yesterday. Alex Smalley had it to 7-under. He's made a bogey. He's at 6. And Sam Burns, just one shot.
You know what I found? So I spoke to Wyndham after his round yesterday. I only called one shot as he was finishing on 8. But I looked at his numbers. He hit 16 greens in regulation yesterday, and he missed a bunch of fairways. And I'm like, how does – so I asked him point blank. I'm like, the one thing every player in this tournament is talking about is that if I can keep it in the fairway, I give myself a bunch of looks. If I miss the fairway, I mean, you're up and down all day. I think he only hit like 11 fairways, something around that. I don't have it in front of me. It was
only 11? There's only 13.
Sorry. Thank you. Good point.
Greens, you mean?
Greens.
Yeah, okay,
your greens.
Good. Sorry.
Sorry, he hit 16 greens, and I think he hit 8 of 13 fairways.
Okay.
So I think he missed 5 fairways, but still managed to hit 16 greens in regulation.
That's amazing.
Yeah. He said he got a couple of good bounces, and he had 2 amazing guesses from Bad Lives where he just said, I just went this. You know, this is a jumper.
You
and
know
went, and went with it, and it happened.
You know it's your day when that comes out
totally.
Like that. And the other side, you look and you see Rory, who only hit 5 fairways and shot 4 under, but he sank 100 feet of putts.
100 feet for 23 or something?
23 or putts.
Here's the official count on because my internet was taking for a long time. Greens in regulation for Wyndham Clark, 16, 8 fairways.
8 fairways. Amazing. Here we go. There
longest
you go.
Drive was 342.
He can smoke it. He can pump it out there.
310. And TJ Rule is actually walking in the
there
building.
There he is.
We're gonna...
Escorted by Mrs. Golf Talk Canada doing the escorting.
Director of Photography and Chief of Security.
Yeah.
She's wearing her white and white today.
Yes. No red.
No red.
No red. Well, you got at least you got Adam and Bob by one color.
Yeah, that's right.
that's right. DJ, no red and white either today. Red and white day for if. Well, that's actually something that we should pump up.
We should.
If you are coming to the golf course this afternoon, if you are coming out to St. George's to support the RBC Canadian Open, it is red and white day. Mm-hmm. Golf Canada is encouraging you to wear red and white in support of Team Canada. I'm the only one of the Golf Talk Canada crew that can read.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Exactly. That's why I'm wearing glasses.
That's why everybody else here is not in red and white.
So for any listeners, if you have a large red Adidas shirt and a pair of pants that are white, please find me and we'll do an exchange. Anyway, on the other side, we'll dive deep into the field right now. We'll talk about all the leaders, all the notables, and the Canadians. Mackenzie Hughes, just 3 shots off the lead. We are live at the RBC Canadian Open on the 16th hole, the Rink Hole, here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade. TaylorMade and the all-new Stealth Driver with a red carbon face for better energy transfer and more ball speed. Welcome to the Carbon Age. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Caddy Time, the Uber-like app that allows golfers across Canada to find affordable, qualified caddies to any round. Visit caddytime.com Download the app or talk to your PGA professional today.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada, live from the Rink Hole, 16th hole here at the RBC Canadian Open. Adam Scully, Mark Spino, Bob Weeks around the table here. We're going to have a revolving door of guests. Brian Crawford, Tournament Director, RBC Canadian Open, joining us in about 10, 15 minutes from now. Mark, you're shortly off for your PGA Tour radio duties. What was it like yesterday? I mean, you mentioned the interaction, people signing autographs, that sort of thing. But what was it like being back on the grounds covering an RBC Canadian Open in person?
Awesome. It's great. I mean, it's weird because, I do it, about 18 events a year for PGA Tour radio, and I'm always the foreigner. Right? Like I am, right? This has never happened.
International draft pick.
So it's nice. It's always nice to have the home game, and you're proud and you want to welcome everyone and you welcome the world to kind of like, hey, come to Toronto. We want to show off how great a golf country we are and how proud we are. And to not be able to do it for 3 years was kind of, not so great.
It sucked.
The funniest moment, I told this off the air. We should tell it on the air. So yesterday, I get sent out to Rory. Go finish, Rory. Go finish, Rory. Okay, so I run out to the seventh hole, 7 and 8. You couldn't get further from where we're sitting right now than 7 and 8. So you battle the crowds. You get through. You da-da-da-da-da. You're in a golf cart. We get out to 7. We get out to 8. And where the 8th green is kind of the most southern point of Islington Avenue on the property. And that part of Islington Avenue is still open to regular traffic. And we've got to get from the 8th green to the scoring area, which is underneath the clubhouse where I saw you guys yesterday. And the players walk through a gate on the 8th green, and they get into SUVs, and they get driven, I would say, about 1,000 yards up Islington Avenue, and then they make a hard left into the media area. So I'm like, can we get in? I asked, can we get into the shuttles? How am I supposed to get up there to do my job, to interview them after round? Yeah, we're not comfortable with the media getting in the shuttle with the players, in the SUVs. I'm like, right. All right. So I'm like, so what's the solution? So they go, I'll just take the golf cart. I said, what? I just take the golf cart in Islington Avenue. So there I go. First assignment of the day. Haven't been working for more than 15 minutes. Going, is this cool? So Dr. J and I. Right out of the gates,
yep.
Islington Avenue, looking around.
Red light, blinker on.
There's moms and dads dropping their kids off at school. And there's SUVs. Yeah, I look.
Got recess happening.
Yeah, there's a bus about a block down this. I'm like,
so
all right.
So would the alternative just be a flat-out wind sprint for you? One of your strengths? Just a flat-out
one of my potential strengths? I'm not sure Doc is big on the wind.
Yeah. But did you say he downed 3 hot dogs yesterday?
There was some sausage. It was sausage, not dogs.
Oh.
Sausages.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's more Italian sausage guy. Yeah, he's very impressive.
Wow, that's quite something.
Hey, he did an amazing job, though, too. Navigate. This is a hard golf course to navigate. I was talking to a lot of the TV crew. Normally, Bob, when you and I are at an event, there's usually a ton of writers as well walking with the groups, right?
Sure.
They're covering a story or whatnot. I saw nothing yesterday.
No.
This is a hard golf course to get around. There's not a lot of, there are people choosing to say, hey, I'm gonna get a home base and kind of do my work from there. It is a hard golf course to get around.
You sort of, when you're out there, you're kind of out there. You can't really, from where you were just talking about the 8th hole over to, I guess, maybe 13. It's a long way away, and there's not really a direct route to kind of cut back and forth. We got spoiled at Glen Abbey.
Yeah, we did.
Because, there were lots of hubs and things you
could
get
up
there.
It was built for this. It was really built for this.
But it's a nice walk out here. It's a beautiful day, as you say, and you can kind of – you pick your 9, I think, and you kind of walk on that, or your 10, your 8. Uh-huh. You pick that, and you go out and just pack a lunch and go there.
There are some fun holes out there when you see the best in the world. It happened to Corey Connors yesterday. You get above the hole at place like 6.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. It is as difficult a putt, as fast as a putt that you are going to see on tour this year, including Augusta National.
Yeah.
You like above on 6, and there's about 3 or 4 of those greens like that where it's like shockingly quick. You just cannot be above the hole, and if you get above the hole, just write 3 putt on the scorecard and move on.
Right?
It's unbelievable.
Now, of course, Rory McIlroy is one of the headliners here as the defending champion. Mark, you saw him for a couple holes. You spoke to him after his round. What kind of vibe did you get from Rory McIlroy?
He loves the golf course. He says, I need to keep it in the fairway. Obviously, to Bob's point, He leaned on his putter a lot yesterday. I asked him, my final question to him was, because I didn't get to see a lot of his round. I only saw his last three holes and then, did the jaunt up Islington. Today I'll get to see the whole thing. I asked him, I wanted to ask him because, you know, it's been 3 years and yet he's defending. And I know he's an international superstar. Like, there's no one other than Tiger. I think you could argue there's no one bigger in the game than Rory McIlroy other than Tiger Woods. And I said to him, you know, did it catch you off guard at how much our country has adopted you? Like, you're beloved here. You know, you wore the red and white. You put on the Raptors jersey. I mean, this country pretty much decided 3 years ago that if a Canadian wasn't going to win our national championship, you were the guy. That's what it felt like. He said it was a complete shock, but like he loved, like it was overwhelming to him. And he truly felt it, truly felt the Canadian golf fans. It was authentic. And then he spoke, I found it very interesting, not the style of golf, obviously, but he said that Canada felt a lot like home to him. And he was talking about the similarities between people and Irish people and Canadians, and just they're warm, they're welcoming, they're supportive. He giggled on how June feels the same. I said to him, yeah, this is a hot summer day for you and I said, but he really does feel the crowd support. And he says he feels the same here this week.
Yeah, he wouldn't. I don't think it's out of the question too to see him repeat here. I mean, as we were saying earlier on First Up, he's only played the golf course two times. So I think he always tends to get a little bit better, and you learn a little bit more, and you figure out things, and figure out wind, and where the pins are, and where you don't want to be as you go through it. So I wouldn't be surprised if he puts up another low number today.
Okay, so will you be back out following Rory?
Yeah, so
JT,
I'm going to suit up at 10 after 11. I know they'll send me to do a couple of things early. We go live at noon. He tees off at 12:53. So I'll either be with him, you know, right waiting for him at the first green, or at the worst case here, I'll catch up with him at 2 or 3, and then that's it. I'll be with him with the day. And, of course, let's not forget Justin Thomas and Corey Connors. Corey needs a great day to make sure he's here on Saturday. And Justin Thomas really wants to get back in this golf tournament. Is that Adam Svensson?
Adam Svensson, who's at 2 under right now, is in the red and white.
There you go. He got the memo. He got
red
the
Adidas shirt, red white Adidas pants. Find me, but a large. Okay. Before we say goodbye to you, Mark.
Excuse me.
On Golf.Canada television, you guys were both around 17, 19 under par, I think, for your predictions, if memory serves, or somewhere around there for a winning score.
Yes.
We've now seen this golf course for one day. Mm-hmm. We know there is potentially some weather coming. Mm-hmm. Where are you at with a final winning
staying
score?
Staying with my number.
Okay.
I'm staying at 17 under. Depends on how bad it is on the weekend. Maybe it comes down a couple. Maybe you could talk me into 15. I don't think it gets above 17. Bob, were you above? I can't remember where you were.
I think I was 19, I think.
That's right, because if it's 18, you win. Right. I win because you go over on the showcase.
I think I was 16.
Right.
I think. Exactly. Now, Mark, you said before that you have to suit up. Like, are we what kind of gear are you wearing here?
So it's either a belt or a backpack. This week it's a backpack.
Nice.
It's filled
easy on
with,
the back?
No, it's filled with. Okay. It weighs about 12, 13 pounds. It's filled with radios and antennas and batteries, and then it cords go up to a headset and a microphone that's attached to the back, and you're out there, and that's what's speaking to everybody in the trailers and everything. Right. It's quite elaborate. It's amazing to me, the setup. I mean, one of these days we got to do a segment on what it actually physically takes to have a PGA Tour.
Like it.
It's unbelievable.
This afternoon.
Well, the TV compound alone in there, I mean, you're talking like, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in equipment up Islington Avenue, and in, you know, and just satellites and radios and antennas and PGA Tour this week booked close to 500 hotel rooms.
Yeah.
To have the traveling circus arrive here in Toronto,
and Flo Rida has 500 too. Yeah, apparently for tonight.
I had to correct somebody today. By the way, I was with the CBS crew earlier this morning, and two of the CBS guys were talking about Flo Rida as Mr. Worldwide.
Did you say Flo Rida?
Flo Rida, right?
I think did you say Rider?
No, Rida, okay. Right?
I thought,
is it Rida? It's Rida.
I thought you said Rider.
Right? No, Flo Rida, and they said he's Mr. Worldwide. And I had to correct them because Pitbull's missing.
That's right.
And I had to correct them.
Flo Rida has a golf song, by the way. Have you heard it?
No.
Yeah. Low, low, low. Just keep getting low, low, low.
Will you be at Flo Rida tonight?
No, I will not. I will not be at Flo Rida.
Flo Rida.
Tonight. After a 12-hour shift,
yeah,
there is nothing happening after work tonight.
Okay.
Sorry, boys.
Well, have a good call.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for you guys doing. I know, Adam, you're doing like a ridiculous amount of heavy lifting, as you are as well, Bob. I know, but we're all being sent in 9 million different directions.
Totally.
So you guys are the best as always.
Thanks for dropping by. Have a great call this afternoon. Go Team Canada, and we will see you on Golf Talk Canada Television, radio.
Well, we don't even know what's happening yet Monday. So.
Will we see Monday on TV? I don't know. You'll have to tune in.
We might be right back here Monday. Let's hope not.
To find out. Okay, on the other side, Tournament Director Brian Crawford sitting down with Bob and I. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Caddy Time, the Uber-like app that allows golfers across Canada to add affordable, qualified caddies to any round. Visit caddytime.com. Download the app or talk to your PGA professional today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. We are live from the Rinkhole here at the RBC Canadian Open. Adam Scully, Bob Weeks, and now joining us here is Brian Crawford, the tournament director of the RBC Canadian Open. Brian, welcome to our set here at 16.
Yeah, thank you. It turned out pretty good. Pretty good view here on 16.
Well, I got to say, for those listening coming to the RBC Canadian Open today, stop by here around 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock, because that's when things got really rowdy yesterday. We were doing some live hits into SportsCenter yesterday, and the fan interaction, the noise, the chants, that's when things really got rowdy here. Were you guys trying to, with the setup here, this is what, the fourth year of the rink?
Yeah, 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the first year it was introduced, and it's grown every year since.
And trying to make it more sort of like the Waste Management sort of feel. Like, what's the process behind the ring?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing our own kind of authentic take on it, but it's certainly it's becoming a signature hole for us, right? Yeah. We don't have that signature hole because we move around every year. Of course, St. George's has plenty of signature holes, but we don't have that as a tournament, right? Like the Bear Trap or Waste or the Island Green or something. And what the rink is definitely becoming is that signature hole. When you're watching on broadcast, and certainly when you're coming to the event here, our hospitality clients, we can't, we sell out the rink right away because it is so much fun. It is a blast. It's Canadiana, and it just infuses that energy into the tournament, like Waste has been able to capture, but we're doing it in our Canadian way.
Awesome.
We were talking just before we went on air about the logistics of this and what the setup is here and the structure. I've covered a lot of these tournaments. I can't remember as big infrastructure here. You've got with the grandstands, with what's going on Islington Avenue, what's going on at Richview Collegiate for the concerts tonight. How do you coordinate everything? Even just, I was just thinking the other day about how do you figure out what order the trucks go in when you pull them into on Islington Avenue? I mean, I can't imagine the mind-boggling things that happen here to make this happen.
Yeah, it's definitely a big animal. There's no question about that. We've got a lot of great people, a lot of great minds that are part of putting this together. We've got a lot of people that have lots of experience and do it every week in and week out, speak about the broadcast compound or what have you. But it's a long process. This one longer than normal, 3 years, we put a lot of time and effort into building it out and thinking it through and trying to make sure that it does flow and work properly. We have a tremendous group of suppliers that have been with the tournament, many of them for years and years and years. And they're excellent at what they do and have helped grow us as a tournament and have grown with us to kind of get to where we are today. And so it's a lot of fun to be part of that and to see it come from, a walk around on the golf course with nothing on it to where we are today.
And it doesn't end when they hand out the trophy here because now you got to get rid of all this stuff, right?
Yeah. About 15 weeks in total to build it all out, and it'll take about 6 to take it all down. And, all of our suppliers are amongst the largest in the country in what they do. And we load up the roadshow and take it up to Ottawa for the women's event in August. So it's definitely a long process and a big project. And it's one of the largest sporting events, annual sporting events in our country. And it certainly takes an army to put it together.
We're with RBC Canadian Open Tournament Director Brian Crawford. And earlier you mentioned long time coming. And this tournament was a long time coming with COVID and everything happening. What was it like with the stops, the starts? Are we playing? Are we not playing? But now to finally have it here. How proud are you of the team for everyone, for all the hard work going into this event?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's absolutely thrilled. I mean, you know, everyone that works on the tournament, that's invested in the tournament, they have an intense passion for it and for what we do. And it's incredibly rewarding to be able to do it and execute it. You know, it was very disappointing, you know, to not be able to have the tournament for the last couple of years for, you know, our fans and our stakeholders and, you know, everyone involved. And to be able to, you know, get to the place where you can actually see people here on the course and coming together as a community, you know, rallying around golf, supporting the event, and just, you know, being part of the celebration is really special, especially after the last couple of years. So it's a great celebration for everyone.
Okay, having said all that, you had all that time to prepare. You've had the big build-out, the 15 weeks and all that. Has anything, like, surprised you? You go, oh, my gosh, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, there's always lots of little things. I mean, working in events is always about constantly adapting and changing and addressing things. You know, a lot of our job is, you know, just to deal with challenges and come up with solutions on a daily basis. You know, you come up with plans, and at the end of the day, you need to see what's going to happen and see how people are going to flow and what they're going to do. And so you got to make adjustments here and there throughout the way to, you know, try to do a little better tomorrow than you maybe did today. So it's a very challenging property. It's a small, tight property. Obviously, Islington Avenue makes a very unique challenge in having to close that road. And we have the partners in the Toronto District School Board with the concert site and our shuttle buses, which, you know, they've been amazing partners in this event, and we couldn't obviously do it without them. It makes for a lot of unique challenges. Some aren't, you know, ideal and how you would design it if you were, you know, starting from scratch with a blank canvas. But you've got to be creative and figure out how to make it work, and you know, ultimately, you know, kind of people adapt and find their way.
I like this hat you got on. I'm going to wear it. It's an RBC Canadian Open hat that's also got little decorations of Canada goose, beaver, canoes.
We'll post a picture
bears
on our social media page so everyone can see
it. Unbelievable.
This.
Yeah, I love
this
that hat.
It's red and white day today here at the RBC Canadian Open.
We didn't get the memo, apparently.
Yeah, apparently didn't get the memo. So I've got I've got my red and my white on. I've got red and white kicks, FootJoy Canada kicks. So celebrating. This is a special collection Level Wear is doing. You'll see a bunch of the Canadians actually wearing it today out on course.
Oh, awesome.
They've got matching polo as well. You've got all the Canadiana, the Maple Leaf, the hockey sticks all on there. So Level Wear has been an unbelievable partner, doing a great job with the merchandise and really kind of elevating us in another way.
Awesome.
We're with RBC Canadian Open Tournament Director Brian Crawford. Now, this is the second year of the new date, and we've heard a lot of players speak glowingly about loving the Canadian Open, loving the new date. You know, Scottie Scheffler playing here for the first time, world number one. Justin Thomas, Cameron Smith, Rory McIlroy defending here. What's it like to have some of the best players in the world playing this event with obviously a lot going on elsewhere? Not going to get into that. But what's it like having some of the top players in the world playing this event for the second straight time?
Yeah, I mean, it's the most important thing, right? That's what people rally around. We may have done things to turn it into you know, a bigger sport and entertainment event, but golf is the anchor, and that's why people are here. And to have you know, so many of the best players in the world here, you know, that is incredible. And you know, it's a credit to our title partner, RBC. They are absolutely the biggest supporter of golf, maybe anywhere, and certainly in Canada. You know, and their investments in our event, you know, in this event together to take it to new heights, to, you know, to bring on, you know, Team RBC, to add the RBCX Music Concert Series, you know, those sorts of things. That's part of the reason why players are coming too. They know what they're going to get because they know the title is as invested in golf as anyone, with two tournaments, with the players, those sorts of things. So they know what this is about. You know, players make decisions about playing for all different reasons. You know, playing their way into an open championship is an important thing. So having the U.S. Open following us is something that is a lot of guys want to get out and feel good about. And playing for a national championship is important, right? It's a special week. It's an important title. We've heard Rory talk about that on a number of occasions. And you know, we have as much history as anyone, and more than most.
Yeah.
And it's special for that reason. So the new date is changed, you know, everything about this tournament, and you know, credit to RBC for really making it happen.
I know we're only in round two, but when you look ahead now, you've got Oakdale next year.
Yeah.
Have you already started looking at the plans for that? I imagine the Oakdale people are here taking notes and looking at what they need to do or what they might consider. Is it already underway?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been, you know, we worked on Oakdale for a couple of years to do our due diligence there and get prepared, you know, to make a decision and and then ultimately end up announcing the host there. So, you know, sales are well underway there, and you know, we're in unbelievable position already for Oakdale. You know, operational plans we've developed, we're much farther ahead, and that was, you know, kind of part of our whole objective, you know, coming out of 18 was to get farther and farther ahead with our planning process, have more dates locked in earlier. So, yeah, that crew's been out. Their whole volunteer organizing committee is going to be out all day on Saturday to see the course, and we've been up there a couple times over the last 2 weeks with tour folks that have been here and others, broadcasts and such, to see it. You know, we're really thrilled about Oakdale. It's absolutely a diamond in the rough. Has, you know, it's a very quiet course, right? A lot of people aren't very familiar with it, but its history is deep and rich, and a Stanley Thompson design, and I think people are really going to enjoy it. The qualifier was there on Monday. We got tremendous reviews from the players that played that. The composite routing was a real good test. Yeah, we've made some modifications to it over the last year. So, yeah, we're really excited to get there.
So do you already know where the grandstands are going to go and those kind of things? You've got that laid out a year and a half. Wow.
Oh, yeah, we're well into our sales cycle there with Oakdale members kind of getting first crack, and then our multi-year buyers that have a chance to renew. So, you know, that plan will without a doubt change and adjust as we, you know, hopefully continue to ride some positive momentum and are able to expand and grow our footprints and come up with new things to accommodate more people. So, you know, we're working on 24 a little bit already as well.
Really? Wow. That's in Hamilton.
In Hamilton, yeah.
Back at Hamilton.
That one's easy. It's, you know, right across the street from my house, so it's
there you
it's
go.
Nice
it's
to
a
do
home
it.
Game.
It's easy. Oh, it's totally a home game. It's great.
Okay, now, of course, at Hamilton, we had the RBC Music Series. That happened for the first time, and we're back here tonight. So for those who haven't heard about this, tell us about who's playing, what it's all about.
Yeah, so RBC introduced this, as you mentioned, in 2019 through their music arm, RBCX Music. And really the objective was to, you know, introduce golf to more people, give them a reason to you know, engage with the event that they may not have had. And it absolutely worked. It was incredible how many people came that may not have before, and realized that this was an amazing event, being outside and enjoying the golf and the food and all the sorts of components that we had. So lucky enough, we were going to bring it back in 20. Obviously, you know, we lost it with the postponement, but we're back this year. Flo Rida is performing tonight, which is fantastic, with some a Canadian opener, Sunreal. And then on Saturday night, Maroon 5 takes the stage, and we're sold out for Saturday. You know, world-class artists, you know, here in Toronto at the RBC Canadian Open, just down the street at Richview, which is really, it's within our footprint, within our road closure, where our shuttle buses drop off. So it's an amazing component and something that I think our fans have really gravitated to. And we've actually expanded it even beyond that in working with SiriusXM and bringing in programming in our fairway fan activation area, kind of post-golf, pre-concerts with emerging artists, RBC, X-Music emerging artists. So we're really excited just, you know, to continue to grow and have new offerings for the fans of our event.
So if you have a ticket and you're here on the property, you can go to Flo Rida tonight.
That's right. That's the best thing about it. It's the best deal in sports.
And just sort of a offbeat question, and I'm just asking this for a friend, but if you had a media pass, does that work as well?
You know, surprisingly enough, that works too.
Okay.
No, that is the great thing. It's like every person that's on site is all inclusive. The concert is part of golf. It is one thing. And as I said, it's, you know, to come here, you know, for less than $100 and have essentially from 7 a.m. to 11 at night entertainment, you know, free for kids as well. It's an unbelievable opportunity for families. So, you know, I think that, you know, people that haven't, you know, realized what the RBC Canadian Open is all about, you know, we offer something that's pretty special.
And as a former CFL player with the Toronto Argonauts, you would appreciate that's where I played and had my great highlights, on that field where you are now going to be holding the concert. So
absolutely,
it's very special to me. I hope you'll maybe, there's probably not a plaque there or anything like that, but there's
probably
there a bench.
Statue. I thought they had to move the statue.
There's a bench basically where my whole career was spent.
We had to get a crane in there to just haul it out
life
of the way.
Size. Yeah. Have you been listening up on your Flo Rida, getting ready for tonight?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. You know, it was on regular rotation on the Spotify playlist at home with the kids, and they were all you know, into it. And Maroon 5 is a favorite of my household. So, you know, I you know. Tons of hits. Awesome. Unbelievable amount of hits that that guy has. And, of course, Maroon 5, well, they speak for themselves.
Now, have you been too busy? I mentioned you were an ex-CFL player, a former CFL player with the Argos. Have you had a chance to look at what the prospects might be for the Double Blue?
You know what? No, not too much. The last 15 weeks have been pretty busy. You know, I caught a little bit of the game. What a great start to the CFL season last night with the Owls and Stamps. But I'm a passionate CFL supporter. You know, I was a fan of the league, you know, well before I was a member of it, and I will be a fan well after I've left it. So, I think it's a treasure, a Canadian treasure, the CFL, and I will certainly be watching a heck of a lot of CFL games, you know, out in my backyard after this event's done.
Perfect.
Well, Brian, I know it's been a lot of hard work coming into this, and now we're here, and it's an unbelievable event. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
We'll have more Golf Talk Canada coming up from the RBC Canadian Open next.
This segment of GTC presented by TaylorMade was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach. No destination in the world can match Myrtle Beach's volume of golf, quality, and value. Come discover why Myrtle Beach is the golf capital of the world.
Wrapping up hour one of Golf Talk Canada here at the RBC Canadian Open. Look who's coming in.
He got the memo.
He's
wearing a red and white shirt.
He's got the lid on. He's got the big shades. He's got the black shorts on. They're not red shorts. That's fine. That's a great shirt, too.
His shirt is red and white. Yeah. It's awesome.
Like, did we not see an email?
I don't know. I mean, I know this used to happen all the time. And I guess maybe because we haven't had it for a few years that I've been kind of lacking. So
I'm not used to waking up at 5:30 in the morning anyway.
5:30. So. I would have wished I could have slept into that long, but it's all good.
Okay, yeah. But we're here. We're wrapping up hour one. We've been doing these shows now all 5 days at the RBC Canadian Open. And, Bob, have you ever, done radio on location on a show full-time, like where you're on a set, like not calling in, but you're full-time, like this sort of thing? Like this is incredible.
No, I can't say we did. I do remember 1 year we did way back because people were just having cell phones. And we decided, hey, let's go out and do play-by-play on the radio, but we'll just do it with our cell phones. This is long before people like Mark Zucchino did it for a living. And we actually did it back into the radio station. We called it off our cell phones. There was just a couple of us, but nothing like this. This is a first for, as far as I know, for Canadian golf of being full-time with a full show. 2 hours, 5 days a week. Yeah. It's a pretty big step. It's great.
Speaking of big steps, my sister, her husband just arrived here. We have people in the building today.
Wow.
This is great.
Amazing.
And they're both a big part of the RBCX music series today as well.
That's right. You told me about that.
So we'll have much more on that. Are you going tonight?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go over and just check it out. I'm not sure how long I'll stay, but I'll probably go up there and dance a little in the mosh pit.
Now,
and then,
I've seen the Weeksy dance moves.
Yes.
From time.
I like dancing. I love to dance.
Wow.
I got a good Mick Jagger impression dance, too. So
I'm holding you to this.
Yeah, well,
you realize
on Maroon 5, dance move like Jagger. That song was written about me, actually.
See, the thing is, like, I have zero rhythm. Like, there's people who don't have rhythm, and then there's me. I've got a light kick.
Yeah.
I've got a robot. I got
the robot.
I got the robot. I got like the lunge.
I want to see the robot.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
It's not great. It's like, I can't do the worm or else I'd probably be in the hospital.
I can do the worm. I can do the worm.
What?
I can do a little bit of the moon dance.
You can do the worm?
The moonwalk, Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I haven't done it for a few years, so I might throw my back out.
For all those, if you see Bob Weeks tonight, you ask him to do the worm. But you know what's something that's also continuing, Bob? That's 20 weeks of TaylorMade.
Of course.
This week we're giving away, or next week, we are giving away a Stealth Plus Hybrid.
Wow, that's good.
And you know how to win that, Bob? It's pretty easy.
I would guess it would have something to do with follow us on Instagram.
You have to do, follow Golf Talk Canada, Twitter, Instagram, TaylorMade Canada, Twitter, Instagram. Tag your golfing buddies. You'll be in the draw to win. And we're giving away over $30,000 of product this year. And, of course, the grand prize, a trip for two to Casa de Campo.
And dance lessons from me.
And, okay, dance lessons from Bob. The value of that remains to be seen. Now, speaking of travel, on the other side, TJ Rule from Golfaway Tours is going to join us. And I believe TJ was just in Casa de Campo. He's got the lid on. He was in Casa de Campo. So we'll go in-depth on Casa de Campo. What people can expect if they win 20 weeks of TaylorMade, what will they expect? We had a Casa de Campo travel special on Golf Talk Canada within the last 2 years, and it looks like a spectacular venue, but we'll talk all about that. We'll talk. TJ's helped me with a Pebble Beach trip, which is later on this year. I guess Bob missed the memo on that one. Maybe you'll join us. Who knows? But I know, Bob, rest of the day. What are your plans here? You got SportsCenter. You got following some Canucks.
Yeah, we got some SportsCenter. We're going to do a little help for CTV News Channel. We're going to go and do some interviews with the players the first wave as they finish up here. Yep. That's probably the next thing we're going to do. So lots on the go here. There's never any dull moment. And then, of course, maybe just loosen up for the dance moves for Flo Rida tonight.
Okay, well, I mean, Graham Dillette standing behind you. Maybe he can give you some warm-up tips.
Yes.
You know?
That's right.
Glute activation, some calisthenics, some jumping jacks, push-ups, sit-ups, squats, the works. Anyway, Bob, thank you for today.
No problem.
Catch Bob on SportsCenter live just after 6 p.m. Eastern tonight on the latest on the RBC Canadian Open. Coming up on the other side, TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours. We are live at the RBC Canadian Open here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach. No destination in the world can match Myrtle Beach's volume of golf, quality, and value. Come discover why Myrtle Beach is the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to Hour 1 of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 15 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada, Hour 2, the back nine here on GTC. We are live from the rink hole, the 16th hole at the RBC Canadian Open. Adam Scully here in studio. Come out and say hi. Come take a selfie. Come take a pic. We got a lot of fans around here, which is great on this par 3 16th. I didn't see how far back they're playing it today. Yesterday, we were on 190, little uphill, little into the fan, probably playing about 202 or so. Now joining us on set, TJ Rule, friend of the show from Golf Away Tours. TJ, how are you, man?
Good, Scully. How are you?
I am better now that I'm here with you, because we haven't seen each other in person since we flew home from Spain.
Yeah.
What a trip that was. Now, that is a, you know, that's a destination that, you know, many people, I wouldn't say Spain is like a, you know, people think golf overseas, they think golf Scotland, golf in Ireland, but Spanish golf is, as we found out, epic.
So good. And especially the south of Spain where we were, yeah. Right? And, you know, a lot of people know Valderrama pretty well. Obviously hosted the Ryder Cup in 97. That was Tiger's first Ryder Cup. Has hosted the Andalusia Masters for years on the DP World Tour. You know, one of the iconic golf courses, and we had such a good day there. But the other courses in the area are great too. And Finca Courtesan is one that's hosted some big match play events. They're hosting the Solheim Cup next year. And beyond that, there's just so much golf in the area, and a lot that we didn't even get to see. But the courses we saw were great. But beyond the golf, you know, there's so much more.
The food. Travel. I mean, the you know, all the sights, the sounds, you know, being in Old Town Marbella, some of those walking tours we did, like those are memories that we'll both have for a lifetime. A, because of the people we were with, because we were with an unbelievable group, but just everything we saw was awesome.
Yeah, and that town of Marbella I love. Yeah. You know, you're walking around those old towns where you get the cobblestone streets and you're walking through and have some great little restaurants and hidden gems and whatever. And we had a couple of great meals there, and one of them is probably, it ranks up there as one of the best meals I've ever had, right?
Yeah.
At that little hotel, Maison Ardoise.
Yes.
And I've sent clients there since then, and they've raved about it as well. It's, what was it, like an 8-course or 9-course tasting menu with wine at each course.
That was on the Saturday night. That was early on in the trip.
It was early on
yes.
in the trip.
Yeah, yeah.
And Yeah, it was just unbelievable. That was just a great night.
And the cool thing about that and trips like that is you make memories for a lifetime. And one of the guys who was on the trip is Roan Vollmer, who was here yesterday. He's the director of golf at Westmount. We saw each other, hadn't seen each other since that flight home, and great to see him. And he's doing well at Westmount. But you know, we're here at the RBC Canadian Open, and there's a lot of great Canadians in the field, Canadians in the mix. Mackenzie Hughes is three shots off the lead. When you come here to the RBC Canadian Open, like, what's your plan? Are you gonna stay out at a hole? Are you gonna cruise around? What do you want to do?
It's a good question, and I mean, I love this track for one thing. I love walking around this golf course, and so I'm gonna try to see as much of it as I can, just to walk around and see how the holes are set up, and you know, where they're pinning the on the greens. And I'm just standing here, and I walked in when I came in. I said to you guys when I came in, just looking at this 16th hole. And I mean, I've played here. I've been lucky enough to play here a few times, and I'm always short on this hole. Mm-hmm. And it never really looks uphill when you play it, but man, with the grandstands in. This thing looks like it climbs about 50 feet.
Yeah.
You can really notice it here. But the course just looks different, right, with everything set up. And it's such a spectacle out here, like everything that's going on. I'm excited to feel the energy and just walk around the track. So I'll find some people that I want to watch. I want to watch some of the Canadians play. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see some of the Canadians hopefully light it up today and get into contention. And and obviously try to see a little bit of the big guys later on this afternoon. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so this afternoon we have the all-Canadian trio, Adam Hadwin with Mike Weir and Mackenzie Hughes at 12:42. Then right after, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, and Corey Connors. Now we'll get back into the RBC Canadian Open momentarily, but you're wearing a Casa de Campo hat. I just mentioned in our last segment, our grand prize for 20 weeks of TaylorMade is included a round trip for two to Casa de Campo. If someone is listening to this and they go on to win 20 weeks of TaylorMade, what can they expect at Casa de Campo?
I'm telling you, I mean, we've talked about Casa de Campo a lot on the air over the years because it is one of my favorite places. And I was lucky enough to go there last fall with a group in November.
Right.
And then actually was able to stick around. My family came down for a few days and had a bit of relaxing time for a few days there as well. Honestly, it's hard to describe. You know, people go to all-inclusive resorts in Dominican or Mexico or wherever quite a bit, and it's sort of most of them are a hotel on a property. You might have a golf course there, but then just a beach, and it's pretty contained. But Casa de Campo it's a town, right? It's 7,000 acres. You get a golf cart to boot around. There's 4.5 golf courses on the property. There's a marina. There's super yachts and all that, and then a beautiful beach club and. Skeet shooting and horse riding, and like there's so much stuff to do there, and just the luxury of being able to hop in a golf cart and just boot around the whole property, and the food. Like, we talked about food in Spain, and you know, you go to the Caribbean and it can be hit and miss at times at certain resorts, but at Casa de Campo there's no miss. It's all the restaurants there are great. There's like 6 restaurants that are part of the all-inclusive plan. I can't say enough about the place. I haven't even talked about the golf courses.
They're awesome, right? You know, Pete Dye designed at least one or
he
two.
Designed, he designed all of them.
Right.
Teeth the Dog, has been ranked top 100 in the world, and it's certainly, one of the iconic courses in the Caribbean. Has unbelievable holes right along the ocean, right along the sea. And then there's the Dye Four course, which is a much different feel. Teeth the Dog is a very flat golf course. Mm-hmm. It has 6 holes along the or 7 holes along the sea, but then the Dye Four is up high and has tons of elevation and bigger golf course and much different feel. And there's another course called the Lynx, which is, in itself is a great golf course, but certainly plays third fiddle to the others.
There you go. Well, we're with TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours. Now, COVID has been tough for any part of any walk of life, whether you're golf, whether you're trying to travel, and a lot of your business is travel. What's it been like for you navigating everything that has come with COVID, with the stops and the starts and vaccination and needing the test 40 hours before and everything that's come with COVID?
I have to tell you, it's been a long 2 years. For everybody in my industry, and we've had to suffer through it a little bit. It's been a lot of moving parts, a lot of moving trips around. The great thing is that, our clients, they want to go on these trips. They're not scared to go on them. They're not canceling them. So, that if they'd booked a trip in 2020 and couldn't go, they pushed it to 21 and then couldn't go in 21, pushed it to 22. They're not going to cancel it. So the good news is that all those trips were pushed forward to this year.
Yep.
So this year is a great rebound for the whole industry. It's crazy busy. you know, the issue now is finding availability.
Yes.
Right? A lot of places are sold out, not just for this year, but some places are sold out for 23 already, and people don't know that. You look at some of the big resorts, say in the U.S., a lot of them are sold out for 23. You know, some of the courses overseas, the Old Course, Muirfield, Royal County Down, Royal Port Rush, pretty much sold out for all of 23 already. So people are having to think about things further in advance now and having to book stuff further in advance. So, you know, yeah, going back to your question, the last 2 years was tough. For me as a small business in Canada, we were lucky to get support,
yes.
you know,
yes.
from the government through it, which got us through. But now the rebound is going to be hopefully fairly long lasting because there's that pent up demand. Everybody wants to get out there and travel now.
Yeah, you mentioned Port Rush and County Down, and I know my parents have, you know, through you are planning another trip to Ireland, which they're super excited about. But I know something you're also very excited about is the 150th Open coming up in a couple months away.
Is the other Open.
Is the other Open. Is the plan still to go and attend and be there?
Yeah, I'll be there with we have a few people going over, staying in town, and playing golf that week and just taking in the atmosphere. So, yeah, it's going to be a pretty electric time over in St. Andrews. So I'm excited to be there and just be in the town. So yeah, we're staying at the university there right in town and playing golf at Carnoustie and King's Barnes and Dumbarney and having some great meals. And, it should be a great time. It will be. I'm really excited about it.
Now you've had the chance as well to play the Old Course, and obviously there's so many stories that go around, hey, you have to show up in the middle of the night, but what's it like? If have you ever played without having a tee time and just showing up and trying to get out there?
I've played the course, I guess, 5 times.
Wow.
lucky, but I mean in my industry, obviously I'm over there a fair bit.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was just there in March for a travel conference, and it's a lot easier to get on in March.
yeah little,
so
little
that
cold.
Day quite honestly, we walked up in the morning and said, you know, what do you have? Now in March, they're playing off mats, so it's obviously not nearly as busy, and it's not the same experience. I haven't lined up myself. I've done the 48-hour ballot and got in through that a couple times. I've had friends over there who are members who, you know, who've got me on as well. So there are a few different ways to get on, but yeah, for those wanting to play the Old Course, number of different ways to get on. To get a guaranteed time is the hard part. And again, for 23, they're already sold out of packages and tee times. There will be a lottery opening up again this year in August for tee times for next year. Mm-hmm. So the packages through tour operators are all sold out, but there will be tee times available through that. So if people want to take that chance and go in the lottery in August, you know, get in touch with us. We can help you out with that. But the chances of getting through that are pretty slim. But then you get over there and there's the 48-hour ballot you can go in and last resort. Lining up in the middle of the night to get on.
We're with TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours. Now, speaking of dream bucket list trips, you've helped plan one for me. And I'm going with my dad, myself, and another father-son combo to Pebble Beach in September. Pebble Beach, Spyglass, Spanish Bay. What can we expect from one of the great trips that, you know, it's on everyone's bucket list?
Well, it certainly is, and for good reason. And you talk about another place that's sold out for... for the foreseeable future, but so you're lucky to be going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, the resort itself is fantastic. It's all very contained, and you know, you've got great restaurants in there, and you know, it's easy to get around. You know, the rooms are great. Like the whole resort, it's 5-star for sure. And you've got the spa there, and you've got lots of things that can keep you busy. But you guys won't have time. You'll be playing golf the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
But then, you know, the golf courses themselves. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Pebble. You see it on TV at least once a year. Mm-hmm. And it really is that stretch, you know, from 6 to 11, 6 to 10 is one of the best stretches of golf in the world. And you go there and you know, hopefully you get a nice sunny day. They get a lot of sunshine there, but sometimes you get some fog rolling in. But the pictures there are just spectacular. And it's one of those courses that, sure, if you tee off a bit later in the day, it's not going to be a four-hour round. You're going to be out there a while.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a while.
But if you're ever going to be stuck somewhere for 5 or 5.5 hours, not a bad spot to be. And then the other two courses that are there are fantastic as well. So you'll love it.
It's going to be a heavy Instagram time. We'll put it that way. Now, before we sign off here, this is something I haven't asked you before. You've traveled everywhere, but... what's a bucket list course for you that you still have not crossed off yet?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
I should have asked you about this before.
Yeah, I should have. You know, I have been lucky to hit a lot of the spots that I want to in the world. obviously there are lots of places that I still need to get to. I'm delaying here so I can kind of try to figure out what's at the top of the list.
But like, have you done Australia?
I have done Australia, and New Zealand, and those are unbelievable. I'd love to get to Hawaii, to be honest.
Yeah,
and play some of the courses there.
Yeah.
I've never been to Hawaii. The views there and the golf courses are pretty spectacular, and so that's all. That's a place that's certainly on my list. Another place I'd love to get to, and not necessarily for the bucket list golf courses, but just for the experience and playing golf, is Argentina. I'd love to get down to Argentina, play some. They have some great old tracks down there, some historic tracks from some of the older architects, and they have good wine.
That's vital.
Yes.
Some would say arguably more important than the golf. Depends. Yeah. But no, I totally agree. TJ, great to see you in person again. We got to play golf. I know you invite me to play golf next week, and I got to work. I know. You're like, just.
Does he work?
Yeah. I wish
gotta,
I could
you gotta
push
sort
it off.
That out.
I got to sort
we'll
that
out.
We'll
get out,
buddy. We will. Great to see you, TJ. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you, Adam.
On GTC. On the other side, Graham Dillette will join us. We'll discuss the second round here at the RBC Canadian Open. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 15 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club and Resort. Live, stay, and play.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. We are live from the Ring Hole here at the RBC Canadian Open, the 16th hole. Adam Scully now alongside Graham Dillette. Graham, welcome back to Golf Talk Canada.
Thanks for having me. 2 days in a row.
2 days in a row here. What a treat this is. Okay, we got Alex Smalley, who's 4 under on his day. He is tied for the lead right now with Wyndham Clark. Do you know Wyndham at all?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Not super well. He was kind of just on his way in as I was on my way out.
Right.
But, yeah, good guy.
Good guy. And Sam Burns, he's now 1 under, dropped. He made a bogey. He is 1 under on his day.
He was
shots.
My value pick. Plus, what was it, plus 1,800 or plus 1,200? Plus 1,800, I think it was.
That's some pretty good value.
I don't know. I said it on – I've been on so many shows in the last couple days.
Yeah.
I don't know what show it was, but – like Bob Weeks told me, he's like, the key to media is just pick a new guy every day and you're bound to be right eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Scotty Scheffler's made a bogey as well. So the wind's picking up here. It's getting difficult. But the round of the day right now, a couple guys. Ben Crane is 5 under today. He is 3 under for the championship. And Canadian Adam Svensson is 5 under through his first 11 holes. He is 3 under, 4 shots off the lead. And throughout his time on the PGA Tour, it seems like, you know, even Bob and Mark have spoken about this, is that he's a guy, when he makes birdies, he makes them in bunches. What's it like when you were playing and you get the momentum going and you think the hole's the size of a, you know, like a hockey net sort of
thing? It's weird because there's guys who have that. It's like an innate ability almost to go low. Like, I was kind of more of a guy, you just kind of plotted your way and, you know, you shoot the 68, 67, mm-hmm. You mix in some, I mean, I shot some low rounds over the years, but
right.
Svenny is definitely one of those guys that people say, it's like he can shoot 60 like any single day on any single golf course if he gets it going. So it's fun. Those days don't happen, you know, as much as you wish when the hole looks like a an ice cream bucket, but they sure are good times.
It's definitely good times. Okay, so some of the other notable Canadians are going out this afternoon in 90 minutes or so. So for you, when you were playing, what was the routine? Let's say you're Corey Connors, you're teeing off at 12:53. Take me through a morning in the life of Graham Dillette when you were playing, if you have a 12:53 tee time.
Yeah, I would try to probably stay up a little bit later the night before so that you could kind of sleep in a little bit so you didn't have to get up so early and kill a bunch of time. But, you know, if I'm staying in a hotel, I get up whenever I get up, go downstairs, have a coffee, maybe have like a little snack or something. And then I would always show up at the golf course 2 hours prior. The first thing I would do is eat. That'd take maybe 20, 30 minutes. Time you get your bag all set up, you mark your golf balls, you get all that kind of stuff, get your bag to your caddy. And then at that time, it's about 90 minutes before my tee time, I'd go to the gym. And it's just kind of like a 30-minute, not really a workout, but just like a activation, get the blood flowing, stretch out, Get strong, kind of just get like a little bit of a pump going.
Like a bit of a sweat going on, that sort of thing, yeah.
Exactly, like just so that, you know, your body's warmed up and loosened up. And then, you know, I would always try to be on the driving range exactly an hour before. And then from there, it's just, you know, 30 minutes on the range, 20 minutes on the putting green, and then to the tee about 6 minutes before you probably tee up.
So for those listening, probably the majority of people listening who trunk slam, couple back stretches and go try to hit bombs.
And the older I got and the more pains and aches, and you see this too, it's like all the young guys are in the gym because that's like the thing, is to be strong and to be fast and to whatever. And all the old guys are in there just trying to loosen up enough so that they can make it through 18 holes. So the older you get, the probably the more important it is. But yeah, I mean, these young guys in the gym, it's crazy. It's like they're so fast, they're so strong, they're all big now. It seems like every new, you know, player coming out is 6'4", and it's like they could play defense in the NHL and they're playing golf.
The way they're built, yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, looking at, you know, people seeing Scotty Scheffler here for the first time, like he's a monster.
Yeah.
Like he's a big dude.
But I remember the first time I saw Phil too, I couldn't believe how big that guy was. Ernie Els, I'm like, and that's like, I think longevity in your career, like, and both those guys have, you know, obviously had really long careers, playing well into their 50s now. Like you look at Ernie, but big, long levers. It's not that quick twitch, like fast. You know, you see a guy like Justin Thomas, and man, I watch him move. I'm like, man, the deceleration that he has to do to stop that club from moving 125 miles an hour with a 145-pound body or whatever is just as amazing as the acceleration. But that's also what takes its toll on your body.
Exactly.
And, you know, so
exactly.
I know that he's got a good trainer out here and he works his butt off to stay as strong and everything as he can. But that eventually will take its toll.
Now, speaking of guys who maybe aren't the biggest and, you know, have played a lot of good golf, Cameron Smith, that's this year. He started today 6 over par, and now, Graham, he's at even par.
Oh, wow.
He just holed out for eagle. He's now T47. He is inside the cut line. So, and that's with one bogey on actually 2 bogeys on the card, and he's 6 under par for the day.
Wow.
And I mean, talk about lettuce. I mean, that takes some maintaining to have a mullet like that. Now, we just had TJ Rule on Talking Travel. And before he came on, we were talking about travel, where we've been. And you spoke about how you love Ireland. Tell us about some of the golf courses you played in Ireland and how much you love it there.
Yeah, so it's kind of a long story, but the first time I ever played in Scotland, my agent at the time had friends at Doonbeg, which is in the southwest part of Ireland. You fly into Shannon, it's like a 45-minute drive. And amazing place. And I ended up just becoming friends with the, you know, the head pro there and their real estate guy, and just like such a fun place to hang out. Every single little pub you go to, you meet like 2 or 3 new friends. No one's on their cell phones, and you know, just sitting there like the whole time at the bar, you sit down and they start asking you questions about yourself, and all of a sudden they're twirling your wife around the dance floor. And but and the golf is spectacular. Doonbeg, Ballybunion.
Oh yeah.
Tralee, Lahinch, they're all like right there. So most people would stay at Doonbeg and then kind of, you know, do the little charters from there. But the people in Ireland are the best, and that's what really, like, of all the places I've been in the world, and I've been lucky to go almost everywhere, those are my favorite people without question. And they just like to have fun, they like to drink beers, they like to play golf, and they just like, they're just merry, you know.
Well, I mean, the people are great. You know what's also great? The Guinness.
Yes. So good. I've been through that tour twice in Dublin.
Okay. And I've only done it once. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, I went through it once. I'm like, that is what a tour. And then my wife came over with me the next time. I'm like, we got to go through the Guinness tour. And actually at Doonbeg, they were pouring little half pints for my wife, Ruby, because, you know, she's not like a massive beer drinker. She likes beer, but
yeah.
So they were calling them rubies, and they were going to put it on the menu, but they never did. So that's the only thing I've ever seen, will say bad about the Irish, that they're liars.
Did you pull your own pint at the end of it? Is that what
they call
it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's cool.
That's a great
experience. Yeah, I want to do the Jameson one.
Oh, yeah,
Next time, because I'm much more of a whiskey guy than I've ever been, and there's some really good Irish whiskeys out there.
So I was actually in Ireland for the 2019 Open, not for work. I was there for, three of my best friends and all of our dads, so there are 8 of us. And we might have stayed out a little late on the night before, so we're maybe a little worse for wear, going to the Guinness Tour, do that, and we played Portmarnock. And we pull up, this is the Saturday before the Open, we pull up, there's a big commotion around that first tee. We're like, what's going on? It's Jordan Spieth.
Oh, nice.
Jordan Spieth.
So is that a Dublin course?
That is just outside of Dublin.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, because we did Royal County Down. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you got to go back, GD. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, because we did Ballybunion, we did Tralee, we did Lahinch, we did Port Stewart, which is right by Port Rush. Did you ever play Port Rush?
No. So I've always just played down in the southwest, and like I'll go to Dublin to kind of have a couple fun nights or whatever, it was always the golf was down there. But this guy that I know in at Doonbeg, he's from County Cork, which if you know, it's almost like their accents are so strong that Irish people don't even know what they're saying. It's like a newfie kind of talking to someone from BC. They're like, what is this guy even saying?
Yeah.
So I need to get down there and play some golf because I know there's some good golf. The whole country, it's just amazing. And they have like the best pieces of real estate. And then it's like there's a golf course plucked there instead of, you know, high rise hotels and stuff like that. It's cool.
And speaking of Irish accents, how about the caddies there too?
Oh, yeah.
You hear some great caddy stories now. The caddies sort of bet amongst each other within your foursomes too. Like that's just like you go, like part of the experience when you go to play golf in Ireland is the caddies, in my mind anyway. Like,
oh, yeah. It's good. It's a must-do if you're a golfer. Yeah. That's a must-do trip.
That's definitely a must-do trip. And Irishman Shane Lowry, who tweeted earlier this week that he loves it here in Canada, he is 3-under. He played yesterday morning. He's off at 104 this afternoon. Coming up on the other side, we'll tee up a number of the Canadians who are playing in this afternoon wave. We'll also hear from them as well. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club and Resort. Live, stay, and play. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac. Experience the iconic Cadillac sedans and SUVs in a personalized live video tour with all your questions answered in real time. Book your tour at Cadillac.live.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. It is Scully. It is Dillette. We are live on the 16th hole, the rink hole here at the RBC Canadian Open. Another half hour here on GTC coming up, and we are going to be tracking Canadian Adam Svensson. He is 5-under through 11. He is a 16-footer for birdie coming up on the second hole, so he's on his second nine now. So let's see if Svenny can post a number. He might get a little breezy this afternoon, maybe in one of the last groups.
It's definitely going to it's going to get tougher. I mean, if we avoid the rain,
yes.
The greens are already starting to firm up. I was talking to Johnson Wagner in the clubhouse here just a second ago, and he's like, man, it's like you miss the greens, and it's if you're in the rough, it's so hard. If you're pin high, you can't control the spin coming out of this rough. So you hit these little chips. If you're pin high, it's got 6-7 feet of break, so it's so hard to judge. And then he's like, if you're above the hole, it's just kind of hit and hope. So, you know, and the firmer things get, the harder it is to hit greens. The more the wind blows, the harder it is to hit greens. The firmer the fairways get, the harder it is to hit fairways, which makes it harder to hit greens. So I don't see this getting any easier, especially if we avoid the rain.
Okay, so for years, Johnson Wagner is known for this great stash. Like, what? Like, did he, you know, have a mistake with the razor? Like, what happened?
I'm so bummed out. I know. He looked like Super Mario there for a long time, especially with that Budweiser hat that he wears. And he's a beauty. He's one of my favorite guys out here.
Yeah, well, I mean, you had a great beard for years, too. Like, that must have taken – I mean, you have a beard now, but, like, it had some character to it.
Yeah, those were kind of fun days. It wasn't ever really, like, a plan, and then it just kind of sort of became, a thing, you know what I mean? So I kind of took it on or whatever, but it got pretty hot. You're doing, like, Washington, D.C. or Memphis, Tennessee in the summer, and it's, like
– you've got lather gone.
It's so hot. And then you shave, and you're, like, you don't even realize – what wind hitting your face feels like and how nice and how cool cooling it is. But it's tough, man. This hole is tough. Like, they're just hitting, like, middle of the green, 30 feet. People are going nuts here because it's so hard. They're not even seeing balls being hit onto the green here hardly.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, and we are tracking the Canadians throughout the day. And Mackenzie Hughes was the low Canadian after day one, 4-under 66. He is off in just over an hour from now. He's 3 shots off the lead. And after his first round on Thursday, he had a chance to go one-on-one with Bob.
All right, Mac, very nice opening round. How did you feel out there with it? It seemed like on the scoring statistics it was maybe a little scrambly.
I think I only missed 2 fairways. So unless the stats are wrong, it was actually quite a steady day. I felt pretty good. I mean, if I can drive it like that the rest of the week, I'm going to have a nice chance. So felt really good with the game today. Thought I could have been 2 or 3 lower. which is a nice feeling. But yeah, solid day overall, and the nice start really helped that.
What were the conditions like out there? We had some more overnight rain. Were they soft up there? Was it obviously imperative to keep it in the fairway?
Yeah, I mean, that rough's not getting any shorter, and with it being wet, it's brutal. So a couple times I caught myself in the rough, and it was, you know, hard work getting it back in position and making par. So I think it's imperative to drive the ball in the fairway, but the greens are receptive, so if you drive it in the fairway, you've got chances.
I'm not sure how many times on the PGA Tour you've had an all-Canadian grouping. I know lots of times in practice rounds. How was it to play with Mike and Adam?
Yeah, it was awesome. Felt like we had a bit of an extra boost on some of the greens walking up, just knowing that everyone in that group is Canadian. And I know Mike always gets a bunch of support here in Canada, so I feel like there was a large gathering for him and for Adam and I as well. So it was a really fun day.
What are you expecting from this golf course if we don't get any more rain? How much more difficult will it get?
Yeah, I mean, it plays shorter, obviously, if we, you know, continue to dry out, and tomorrow is supposed to be a nice day, so it could potentially firm up a little bit, which would be nice, but I think it'll play relatively similar, you know, tomorrow. I don't think it's going to get crazy firm overnight with the overcast conditions, but you never know. We'll be ready for anything, and hopefully that sun comes out tomorrow and we get the, you know, a nice Friday afternoon at the Canadian Open.
Keep that driver working?
That's right.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, yeah. Matt.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, that's Bob and Mackenzie Hughes, who's off now in 1 hour and 8 minutes. And off, right at the end of there, they mentioned his driver. And I know you were walking around with Mac and the swing coach Ralph Bauer on Wednesday during their practice round, and you noticed something interesting happen.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Mac's signing autographs on the way to the 17th tee box, and we had gotten up there, and I was just kind of, you know, chatting with Ralph and his caddy there. And they pulled out his driver, and they started messing with the weights on it, and they slid it from the toe back to, you know, kind of more of a neutral position, and then we're screwing it back in. And I said to him, I'm like, are you guys telling Mac about this? Or he's like, well, he kind of knows, but and then he walked up and he's like, oh, you guys changing my driver? He's like, yeah, we're just kind of making neutral. He's like, okay. And then he hit it, and he actually hit a really nice one on 17, and that was his, I think, his second last hole on Wednesday, so maybe that was it, and they found it. So crazy,
pretty late. I mean, yeah. For Mackenzie Hughes too, 4 under 66, and he's the low Canadian right now. You know, he's a guy who has played, he's had a lot of pressure-packed moments in his career. You think back to 2020, that putt at the BMW Championship to make the Tour Championship, and you know everything that comes
up. And the up and in, not just the putt, the bunker shot,
yes.
And the putt, yeah.
And after, as he said, like dumping the wedge, like he had 140 yards and dumping that in the bunker, and then, as he said, you know, the great bunker shot, and then sinking, his words, a greasy seven-footer to make the Tour Championship. He's an Olympian, like yourself. He, you know, a great, you know, U.S. Open final round last year, so he has that experience. How do you think he'll handle these expectations now that he's really in the mix in this tournament?
Yeah, he's a polished player now. Look, like he's just because he's Canadian here, there is extra pressure, but he knows what he needs to do to play good golf at this point in his career, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to do the same warm-up as normal. He's going to, you know, they have a game plan for this golf course, they're going to stick to that, but it does get harder as the week goes on, you know, dealing with everything. But man, if you're in the final group of a U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, which is set up almost like this.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Torrey Pines is a bigger park, but this place, like, the way it, with the rough the way it is, it's actually kind of a similar type of golf course and setup. So I would say that his game suits this golf course and championship pretty well.
There you go. Well, he's off in just over an hour now, and we're still tracking Adam Svensson. Unfortunately missed the 16-footer for birdie, so he remains 5 under. He has 6 holes to go on in his round, so we'll keep tracking Adam Svensson for the rest of our show here. Next up, we're going to hear from Nick Taylor. He was even par in his round, even par 70. He's teeing off at 1:15 p.m. this afternoon, and after his round on Thursday, he also spoke with Bob.
All right, Nick Taylor, opening round in the books. How would you sum up the day?
You know, I kind of grinded all day. I drove it nice. Irons weren't that sharp. You know, I three-putted the last 2 holes. That sucks. Had a long poor iron shot on 7. Pretty difficult 2-putt. Missed a shorter one, and then just a really bad 3-putt on 9 or 8. So disappointing finish, but I feel like my game's sharp enough. I've had a low one tomorrow.
Is this golf course playing that fine a line where if you hit a couple of bad shots, you can really pay the penalty?
Yeah, you know, the pins are in trickier spots, so you got to be pretty precise. Again, I drove it really well, so I I can't really blame that of being the rough off the tee or anything. So if I keep doing that, you know, I'll be a little sharper tomorrow and give myself more chances.
What's the stature of the golf course right now in terms of conditions? Were anything you surprised out there in terms of softness, hardness?
You know, with all the rain last night, I was impressed. The ball was still rolling in the fairways. You know, the greens are soft, but you can tell if we dodge some rain today, it's going to firm up relatively quickly. So hopefully that's the case. It'll get much more harder as the days go on. So hopefully that that happens.
Home game, you got some family here following you around. Were they cheering you the whole way?
Yeah, you know, home away from home, I guess. Some family out, which is really great. It's nice to finally have the event back. And, yeah, again, it's not as close to home as some, but it's great to have it back.
All right, thanks, Nick.
All right, thanks, Paul.
Who three-putted his last two holes and got a very tough break on his last hole, as we were talking about.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Ugly.
Oh,
yeah, no. It was one of those ones that spits it right back at you. And the difference between shooting 69 and 70 or 1-under to even par, like, psychologically is huge. You know, you're not in those red digits. And I was just thinking while he was talking there, I'm like, two wins? Mm-hmm. Is there a more underrated Canadian player maybe of all time? Like, he's had himself a really nice career quietly. He's not like a headline guy or anything. One of the nicest guys out here. And that's crazy. I was just kind of thinking that. I'm like, what a career he's already put together.
Oh, my. Yeah. And you know, that win at Pebble Beach, which I think some people almost forget about because it was 3 weeks before COVID hit. And, you know, I'll never forget sitting in the TSN newsroom and was watching with Bob, and, you know, we're sort of going nuts that he's battling Phil here and in a duel, and he went out to win.
I remember tweeting out that morning and saying Nick Taylor's getting this win because he was playing in the final group with Phil, and all these haters were all over me. Oh no, Phil's the guy, blah blah blah, whatever. And I'm like, and then he dusted him. I loved it. That was so good.
He had a couple holeouts. That sixth hole for eagle, and then on the 15th hole, chipped in for birdie too. So great to see Nick Taylor. You know, he's playing some good golf again. He's T47 right now. So let's see if he can get into the mix. He is currently even par. He's up at 115 this afternoon. Okay, a lot of people were very high on Corey Connors heading into this week. Didn't have his best stuff on day one. 1 over 71. He's playing with Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy in one of the marquee groupings this afternoon. And after his first round, he also went 101 with Weeksy.
All right, Corey, first round in the books, RBC Canadian Open. Can you tell us how it went for you?
Yeah, not quite the start to the round I was hoping for. I got myself in some tough spots on the first few holes. Felt like I gave myself chances to battle back a couple par saves after a shaky start. And felt like I settled in, hit some better shots through the middle of the round towards the end. Just wasn't able to capitalize on some of the birdie putts I gave myself. The most special day ever, but it was fun to be out there. Crowd support was great, and looking forward to steadying the ship and making some birdies tomorrow.
Is there anything in particular that you were disappointed in your game?
Ball striking wasn't quite as solid as usual. Didn't get myself in the fairway as much as I would like. Wasn't in the driver great. That being said, had a number of good ones out there that can build from, and hopefully hit tomorrow.
Any surprises with the conditions? Obviously, you have to keep the ball in the fairway, it would seem, with the rough.
Really surprised how sort of firm the course seems after getting rain again last night. The ball's, you know, not just plugging where it lands where you might expect. I feel like the course drains really well. The greens were rolling great. Felt like they got a little bit faster today, you know, despite increased moisture. But great shape. You got to keep it in the fairway. Keep it below the hole. A slick putt out there on the sixth hole where I was way above the hole, and that had my hands full. It wasn't very fun.
Is there anybody left in Listowel? I seemed walking around in the crowd today, there seemed to be a pretty healthy Corey Connors contingent from your home city.
Yeah, no, it's great to have all the hometown fans out here. Probably not too many people left in town. I think I'll see the same thing tomorrow. Great that they're out here supporting me. It really means a lot. So many people from my hometown have helped me get to where I am today, so it's nice to be able to play in front of them.
All right. Good luck on Friday.
Thank you.
Corey Connors, one over, tees off in just over an hour. What are you expecting from Corey this afternoon playing with JT and Rory?
Well, the way the golf course is playing and how difficult it is, he doesn't have to do anything special to get himself back in the tournament. You know, he shoot 2-3 under par today, which is easier said than done, obviously, because it is a tough golf course. But, I mean, he's an elite player. But, you know, when you're – sometimes when you get back on behind after the first round, it's just making the weekend is kind of like the initial goal, and he knows what he's got to do. But normally there's a bigger spread than there is right now, like with 7-unders leading and he's one over par, right? So, like, anyone who makes this cut is going to be within striking distance, you know, where sometimes it's like you make the cut and it's like you have a decent weekend, you finish 30th. But if you have a decent weekend here, you can move right up real fast. So he just needs to make sure that he's playing tomorrow and Saturday and just kind of let his game speak for itself.
And this is a guy, too, who three straight top tens at the Masters. You know, he played well at the Open last year. He had the 18-hole lead at the PGA Championship. He was an Olympian as well. So, he's not afraid of the spotlight, right?
No. Yeah. The lights, actually, the brighter the lights get, usually it seems like, you know, he turns his game up to a new level. So, you expect him to play well here today and then through the weekend. And I think we're all cheering for that as well.
Absolutely. Okay, before we go to break, Adam Hadwin also was very solid in round one. He was in the red. He was 1-under, and he tees off in just under an hour. And he's playing with Mike Weir and Mackenzie Hughes. Let's hear from Adam Hadwin.
Adam Hadwin, opening round in the All-Canadian group out there. First of all, tell us about the round and how you felt about it.
It was okay. I got off to a good start. But I think starting on 9, it kind of lulls you into thinking you're playing better than you are with 3 par 5s in the first 7-8 holes. And kind of hit some good holes in the middle of the front there, and I just didn't hit good enough shots coming in. So a little disappointing there, but it was always nice to end with a birdie.
Any surprises in the way the course played?
It was a little bit drier than I thought it would be. I don't know how much rain came in overnight, but the fairways were great. I thought there may be a little bit more mud on the ball, but it was perfect. I thought the course played really well today. Greens were still receptive, but you had to hit some good shots.
I don't know how many times you've played in an all-Canadian group on the PGA Tour, other than practice rounds out there. What was it like to enjoy that here at the RBC Canadian Open?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Good on them for doing something like that. And we had a good time. Two guys I'm very familiar with and spent a lot of time with, and great guys, and we were playing some really good golf all together there those first 9 holes. So I hope it's loud tomorrow. I'm sure all three of us will soak it in come that backside.
Mike Weir had an unusual penalty that he called on himself where he marked a ball and lifted but was on the fringe. I was just talking to Mackenzie. He said the fringes are kind of hard to find out here. They're not really all that well defined. Is that right?
Yeah, on some of them, a lot of them, there's like an extra fringe cut that we're not used to. You don't see it all that often, and in certain spots on the green, it really blends in with the green itself. It's kind of almost all one cut, and so the definitions of this little fringe cut are very, they're not very distinct. And Mac almost did it himself on our third hole, the 11th. It was one of those things. I can totally see how it happened. You just walk up and you don't see the definition and you mark your ball. So that was unfortunate.
Good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Bob.
He was mentioning some weird, you know, talking about the fringe. Do you have any weird rules, things happen during your career that you thought, does that really just happen?
I remember this is actually when I was playing Canadian Tour. I got an exemption into the Dunhill Championship, which is kind of like the European Tour's Pebble Beach tournament. Mm-hmm. And I was actually playing with Padraig Harrington in the final round at the Old Course, which was he was fresh off winning like 3 of the last 7 majors. It's when he was playing really hot, and I thought it was cool because I was a mini tour player at the time playing with him. And I hit into the gorse on like probably the 5th or 6th hole and took my unplayable. Took my drop, but you have to drop within a club length, you know, where, but it can still roll another club length, but it can roll 2 club lengths. It was outside 1 club length. I wasn't even thinking. I picked up the ball to redrop, and he's like, no, 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 in his little Irish leprechaun voice. And I, as soon as I picked it up, I'm like, oh no, God, I can't believe I just did that. And, you know, a time like that, like, because I ended up finishing, I don't know, mid-30s or something, and it killed the momentum that I had in the round. And it's like, man, if I could have, you know, finished strong and, you know, get world ranking points and money, too, because
cash.
It was a big, big purse, you know, compared to the $150,000 Canadian Tour purses I was playing for at the time. But, yeah, that's one that I definitely remember.
Well, Graham, it's been a lot of fun working together in person finally now. Thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Anytime.
And we'll be on SportsCenter later tonight.
All right.
On the other side, we'll wrap up Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac. Cadillac. Experience the iconic Cadillac sedans and SUVs in a personalized live video tour with all your questions answered in real time. Book your tour at Cadillac.live. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the all-new Tour 360 22. Tour 360 22 sits on the feet you wear last, serving as the foundation for the all-new Tour 360 fit, while the new direct-injected Spike More traction system will help golfers stay locked in.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. Wrapping up our final segment. It's been a great week here on GTC. We've been live at the Rink Hole at the RBC Canadian Open, the 16th hole. Come check out the Overdrive guys. They'll be live on TSN and TSN 1050 this afternoon from 4 to 7. Hayes, Noodles, the O-Dog. I hear there's a RBC Canadian Open Dear Hazy B edition coming up here, so that's going to be must watch TV, I should say. And Hazy's been talking about his round. It's apparently the greatest round of golf ever played. He should be playing in the field this week, so maybe we'll hear more on Brian Hayes' round of golf. Adam Svensson, your low Canadian for the day so far, 5 under through 13 holes. He has 4 shots off the lead. Coming up next on TSN 1050 is Leafs Lunch, coming up on the other side. Thanks for joining us all week. We'll see you next week for Golf Talk Canada. Thanks joining us, and we'll see you next time.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the all-new Tour 360 22. Tour 360 22 sits on the feet you wear last, serving as the foundation for the all-new Tour 360 fit, while the new direct-injected Spike More traction system will help golfers stay locked in. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television weekly on the TSN Television Network.